Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Reverend Lauren Davis, and he is a missionary and evangelist from Africa, who's going to bring us up to date on what's going on in Africa today, and his concern about a new movement that is coming in. Now, there are tremendous inroads that are being made by Christianity there, in the face, certainly, of the traditional animist religion, and, of course, of the Muslims, who are being funded by our good friends in Saudi Arabia, and our good friends in Pakistan. But certainly there is another movement that's coming into Africa that really threatens this true evangelical movement. Reverend Davis, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
Well, why don't you just sort of tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and your mission, your ministry over there. You're having tremendous success, aren't you?
Yes, sir, we are. In fact, we have actually three phases of our ministry. One is crusades, the next is conferences, and the others is we're building churches deep in the jungles of Africa. Let me just start first with the churches. Well, let me go back a little bit in our history. My wife and I, in 1988, went to Africa for the first time. We were just kind of a mom-and-pop operation. We didn't understand Africa. We didn't understand the people, but God gave us a burden for it. When we went there, our first crusade was in Sumbawanga, Tanzania. And the name Sumbawanga means to throw witchcraft. And, you know, we'd heard about witchcraft. I'd read some in the Bible about it, but really, you know, didn't know much about it. Just, I think this is where America is today with the popularity of Harry Potter. You know, they're just, I didn't have that kind of a infatuation with witchcraft. I knew something about it. I knew it was wrong. But anyway, I understood later that Sumbawanga, it means to throw witchcraft. It was the witchcraft capital of Central and East Africa with the most powerful witch doctors. And boy, I'll tell you, where we're in for a surprise. The first night we spoke, and there were a lot of Muslims also in that area. We had maybe about 500 people on a little platform, only about 2 feet high, 5 foot by five, and there was only about a dozen Christians there. But as I started preaching about Jesus, you know, they started mocking me, and, you know, I never had that reaction to my preaching before, anyway, not outwardly. But then there was a man, he really looked very demon-possessed, like someone you read about in the New Testament. And he was really mocking as I was preaching and hideously, you know, behaving himself. And my wife, you know, she's raised a Baptist. She didn't know much about it, but read in the Bible, you know, how Jesus cast out devils. So she went over there and commanded the unclean spirits to come out. Well, nothing happened. And she said, you know, I know it's got to work. Jesus said we could do it. But she turned around, and when she turned around and went back to video on me, a big snake about 5 feet long, as big around, oh, my, I've got a big wrist, as big around as my wrist, a big man's wrist. It came out, and it's from by the rope area, and started coming to my wife. Well, something, you know, some men got some sticks and tried to kill it, but in front of everybody it disappeared. Now, wow, I'm telling you what.
Well, of course, the thing is that to tell the average American this, they do not understand the mystical. They do not understand the supernatural. I lived and I practiced medicine in Africa. Of course, I was a doctor, and so many of my patients went to the witch doctor before they came to the white doctor. We're going to be back in just a moment here to tell more of this incredible, incredible story.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Reverend Lauren Davis, and Reverend Davis and his wife went to Africa in 1988. They didn't really know too much about Africa. They didn't understand the spiritual forces that are at work there, very real spiritual forces. And of course, he was just telling us the story of the first time he ever gave a sermon. It was in Tanzania, in the center of witchcraft in Africa. And would you just retell that story? Because now we have a whole flock of new people with us, and then the old audience will be coming back. But just tell that amazing story of what happened when you began preaching and this one man, demon-possessed, began attacking you.
Sure. This is 1988, our first trip into Africa, our first crusade. And, we didn't realize where we were going, but it was a village. It was, a small town called Sumbawanga. And Sumbawanga, the name, means to throw witchcraft. And that ought to tell something about it. And, I'd heard about witchcraft before. And, I read in the Bible where it's wrong. But I just reflect back what's happening in America today, the witchcraft and sorcery revival, particularly with Harry Potter, the fascination that people in this country, they're even turning their children to, read all these Harry Potter books that are so popular. But, and it's just like it's a game. It's like a fantasy. We hear about it at Disneyland and on so many movies. But what we experienced here, it really popped our eyes open, because the first night I spoke, there was about 500 people there, and most of them were Muslims. And I don't think most people realize, but Islam is deeply involved in the sorcery and with supernatural experiences, on the other side of the world, and also operating with demon spirits. Well, there was only about a dozen Christians in that town, and everybody was shocked that I would even go there to preach. But when you don't know any better, God can use people. Sometimes God can't use two people that are too educated. So,
but if you'd been educated, you probably never would have gone there.
I would have never gone, I guess, if I'd have known about it. But, we were pretty fearless, and we'd had a rough life anyway, and a lot of hard things happened. So we thought, devil, if we're going to fight you, we're going to fight you on your own turf. But what we experienced, we never experienced, expected to experience at all, because this man down beside the crowd control rope down there, and like I said, it wasn't too big a crowd, only 500. That man just was, he was acting crazy, frothing at the mouth, and demon possessed. And I know many people don't believe in demon possession, but Jesus dealt with it in the Bible.
Hold that thought right there, Reverend. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Reverend Lauren Davis. Reverend Davis is telling us that his wife goes over to talk to this this demon-possessed man, and she actually commands the demon to leave, and the demon doesn't leave. The man just keeps right on, and of course, your wife must have been a little concerned, so pick up the story there.
Yes, my wife even expressed it later on. She said, this is like a lot of people. When they pray and nothing happens, they say, the Bible doesn't work. But, the Bible says faith is the evidence of things not seen. And so she turned away and she just believed God was going to do it. Raised in a Baptist background, and the first time she ever tried this, she just read it in the Bible and tried it. So she turned around and started filming me again. About this time, a snake, a black mamba, which I think they say about 30 seconds you'll die from its bite.
It's the most vicious of all the African snakes, the black and the green mamba, right? And they move so quickly, and they're giant snakes.
Yes, very fast. 5 feet long, and I'm over 200 pounds, and as big as my wrist, that big around, and it started moving toward my wife. Well, the Lord just put some, the men around her took sticks trying to kill the snake, and a lot of people around, the people were screaming. And I'm preaching Christ has redeemed you from the curse, and the other crowd's mocking me. You should have been there. It was a lot of fun. Well, I'm joking there, of course. but anyway, that snake disappeared in front of everybody. And I'm telling you, we couldn't believe our eyes. This is our first night to preach in Africa. So, we went to our room that night and trying to figure out what in the world is going on here. And then we were told that this was a jinn. You hear of I Dream of Genie? Well, of the jinn that like a genie, that these are real commonplace. You've been in Africa, you heard a lot about them. There's jinns that manifest, their spirits manifest physically in Africa. You know, you get in the interior, they talk about these things all of the time there. So anyway, we were trying to figure what in the world happened this first night. And, you know, we went to our room, and about 10 o'clock, we outside of where we were staying. We call it the Sumbawanga Hilton, but really it was the hotel from hell. but a bunch of witch doctors came outside of our hotel room or in the middle compound and started playing drums and all their incantations, and they were trying to put a curse on us and to kill us. And we're 1,500 kilometers deep in the interior of Africa, just my wife and I. So, you know, we prayed, and it seemed like, you know, nothing was happening, and it just felt like evil spirits were trying to come straight through the wall. Well, about 11 o'clock, you know, I got up and I started putting my pants on. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I feel like Popeye. I stands all I can stand, and I can stand no more. I'm going to go stop it." And she said, "Don't go out there. You don't know how many's out there. You don't know what's there." And I said, "Don't worry." I said, "You know, the Lord is with me, and greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. I'll be okay," and lock the door. Well, she might have never did what I told her before, but she locked the door, I'm telling you. And I walked out there by myself, not knowing what I'd face in the dark, but I felt such courage. I felt the Spirit of God. And I stood out there, and I stood before all of those guys trying to curse us, and I said, "It's over. It's over." Anyway, it's a long story, but basically we survived that night, and the last day the whole city came out to hear us preach. Many came to the Lord. So that was our first night preaching in the interior of Africa. So Africa was saying, "Jumbo, hello, we greet you." So that's how we got started. Since that time, and we've been holding crusades deep inside the Congo, in the heart of the Congo. In fact, we've held 7 major crusades in the Congo. And about a year and a half ago, or in fact, it was 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, we were in the heart of Congo in Bujumai. And our men were nearly killed on 4 different occasions, and someone was slaughtered, you know, right in front of them. Their blood came on our men. But thank God for his delivering power. He delivered us. But in our crusades in the Congo, I mean, we have seen literally hundreds of thousands of people come to the Lord. One night, 300,000. Another night, 400,000. And it was just a sea of people coming. And to hear those people in the Congo crying out to the Lord, and we had testimonies that were incredible. Those were cannibals that gave their life to the Lord. And they came and they told their stories, you know, not to the Jehovah Cole crowd, but my wife got an interview with them, and they told the things they had done. And we found out that still cannibalism is still rampant in the Congo. But then we've been preaching crusades in Tanzania and in Uganda, in the heart of Uganda. And we've been in Burundi and in Rwanda. We haven't held the crusades in Rwanda, but we ministered there. And also in Kenya. In fact, we just returned from Kenya this last week in a crusade in the slum area of Nairobi in Dandora slums. We saw 200,000 people come in one night. And I've never seen such a hunger for God. People were crying out for the Lord, turning to Jesus. And so many gave their lives to Jesus. It was absolutely one of the most wonderful things that I have ever seen. And we got it on video, too. And all of these crusades, we have it on video to document and prove what's going on. And another aspect of our ministry is that we've been, since 2000, we have been building churches in villages in Africa. And these are villages that don't have churches and that are totally unreached. So what we have four diesel trucks that are designated for construction, and we have got 4 construction teams, and so we can build 4 churches at a time. And then I've got another diesel truck that we use for evangelization. So there's about 25 in our team. And for example, on this last trip, we built 23 churches And this year, in the villages, unreached villages in Africa, we, by the help of God and the generosity of people giving into this ministry, the Lord has enabled us to build 47 new churches this year. And since 2000, 132 churches. Not only building churches, but we're evangelizing, and we're leaving good pastors with them and checking over them, and our churches are growing. And so this is a very important part of our ministry. Just on this trip, we penetrated 13 Islamic villages and built churches. And, of course, there's a long story about everything I'm sharing with you right now. I'm abbreviating it. And but we've had a lot of experiences. One place we went, 18 people were killed. They had a big raid with another tribe that raided at 4 o'clock in the morning, and with AK-47s and spears, and so 18 people were killed all around us. But thank God none of our team was killed, and we continued building. We've had two airplanes and that we use in Africa. I'm a bush pilot in Africa. But a year and a half ago, as we were flying up towards Sudan, we built a church in southern Sudan. About a year and a half ago now. So we got a lot of stories even about southern Sudan. But I took off with my wife in the plane and our director, Richard and Catherine Kipchalot, and 700 feet off the ground, the engine just suddenly stopped unexpectedly. And we fell from the sky, but the Lord just kept me calm, you know, to do what I had to do. And by a miracle, all of us escaped. Nobody killed, and nobody seriously injured. In fact, the story's on our webpage. Can I share the webpage?
You surely do. Please tell our listeners how they can get there.
Okay, it's www.lorendavis.com, LorenDavis.com. And also, it can show pictures of these crusades that I was telling about, of the churches, of the plane crash, our deliverance. I think you'd find it really interesting.
Well, now, were you building the church there in the Nuba Mountains in Sudan, or whereabouts?
We built the church in southern Sudan.
Right.
Yes. And, in fact, you know, we had to go through no man's land. Well, of course, almost everything's no man's land, but we had to have armed soldiers with us because, you know, at any time fighting could break out. And in fact, when we were arrested, myself and our crusade director, we were arrested and we were brought before the council, and it was very tense for a while. But we thank God that finally we got favor and we were released, and we were able to accomplish the mission and build the church and evangelize in that village. So, you know, we're constantly facing a lot of dangers doing what we do. We live in tents in the jungles of Africa. Oftentimes we live in tents, and I praise the Lord for my wife. She's so brave. She lives with me in the tents out there. We have a big team, and we've had lions visit the camp at night, and all types of things. Snakes crawl under the tent, cobras, and But for the hand of God, we wouldn't be with you, even be able to talk to you on the phone right now.
Well, now, of course, what about in southern Sudan? Is the situation pretty well stabilized? I understood, at least as far as the southern Sudan, there seemed to be a peace agreement between the Christians of the south and the Muslims in the north. Is that peace holding?
Well, it's just an iffy thing. It's on again and off again. But with my talks with the chiefs and with the people in southern Sudan, you know, the real issue is the Muslims, they want to put, the Muslims of the north, they want to put those in the south under Islamic Sharia law. And those in the south just are not going to accept that. And so, you know, the struggle that we're facing with Al-Qaeda, you know, and the Islamic uprisings all over the world. What it is, you know, the Muslims, you know, have declared jihad literally to conquer the whole world. And so what we saw at 9/11, what they saw in Indonesia, in Jordan today, other places, this is the same war that is going on actually in Sudan. And so if there's on any ceasefire, just from what I, you know, what I know by being there, I can't see the Muslims ever giving up
All right, hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment to continue this discussion with Reverend Lauren Davis.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level. And the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tieri. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Reverend Lauren Davis, and telling us about what's going on in Africa today. Are you encountering a great deal of AIDS? Is AIDS much of a problem over there?
Well, yes. In Kenya alone, where our base is, 800 people die every day of AIDS. And, you know, they just, in the mortuaries that they have, they just stack the bodies on top of each other. It's just absolutely incredible what is going on in AIDS in Africa. And so there are many threats. You know, there's the threat of Islam, which is trying to take over Africa, and also take over one country after another with Sharia law. There's the threat of AIDS. But now, you know, there is another threat that is coming to Africa. And also in the United States, you know, we've seen the threat of humanism totally taking over society, pushing Christianity out and God out. And we're all familiar with that. And we've seen it in our educational system and everything. But there is another threat that is coming to Africa. And it's coming to America and the world. And what we have found, you know, I've been working with my wife 17 years in Africa, but we built churches in very, very remote villages among very primitive people. And I just returned this last week from Africa, and what I found out is that with Rick Warren, I'm sure people are familiar with that name, I know you are, that his global peace plan has come and even penetrated deep into our most remote tribe. And, you know, we're not against peace, but we're not against humanitarian aid, you know, which he comes talking about those things. And but the problem is there's something attached to it. And I think the most despicable thing in the world to me is to take advantage of people's needs and to exploit it to have another agenda. And this is what Rick Warren is doing in Africa. I mean, he has come in like a storm. He's taken over most of the churches in South Africa, have come under purpose-driven churches. We know how it spread in America. He's come into Rwanda to make all the churches in Rwanda. In fact, there's an article in Time magazine, I think August 2005, that says that virtually 100% of the churches in Rwanda have now come under purpose-driven churches that he's involved in, that he's leading in. And also the government of Rwanda, you know, has joined with Rick Warren in this thing. And now we see it in Kenya, and it is spreading. He's moving all over Africa as fast as he can. And I think, you know, I think there's several things, in my opinion. I've looked at this thing. You know, the last count I had, he had sold 23 million books. Well, that's nothing to sneeze at. I don't know that I've ever heard, you know, of a book selling like that before. But here's the man as a Baptist pastor selling 23 million books. And you know what he's saying is going to have an impact on Christianity all over the world. I mean, you see his books in Walmart, you see it everywhere here, and now spreading the world. But this man is jetting from one African city, one African country to another as fast as he can, and he's incorporating all the denominations to come under his purpose-driven. And the amazing thing to me, you know, most bishops, they're so careful, you know, who comes in and teaches in their organization. But with Rick Warren, what I have seen in Africa, I mean, whether it's Anglican, whether it's Lutheran, Baptist, Pentecostal, he's even come, you know, in a lot of the Catholic realm, all of them are buying this guy, and they're letting him just have carte blanche and to not only to come in and cooperate, but to retrain their pastors with his theology. And
well,
to become,
is there anything wrong with the theology? Isn't it a Christian theology?
Well, there are some very deep things that's wrong with it. And for example, you know, his church is what you call a seeker sensitive church in California. And in fact, there was Bruce Wilkerson last April was on Robert Schuller's television program in California, and he was speaking about this big seeker-sensitive movement that he and Rick Warren were involved in, and how this thing's taken off. And he told everyone in front of Robert Schuller at Crystal Cathedral that Robert Schuller was the grandfather of this seeker-sensitive movement. Well, you know, it's been documented by his teachings and things that Robert Schuller does not believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. His connections are, you know, New Age leaders, and he says that there is no such thing as sin.
We're going to be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty, and we want to, of course, explore what's happening in Africa, and perhaps understanding what's happening in Africa, we can begin to understand what's happening in America.
Sure.
set Gene aside, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, we do know that in some of our more modern churches, they don't like to talk up, said much. Reverend Davis, go ahead and pick up this story, because you're pointing out that they seem to have sort of changed a little bit of the Christian message. Is that what's happening in Africa and in the United States?
Yes, sir, and going back to the seeker-sensitive that Rick Warren's church is, and the kind of gospel that he is promoting. And basically what that is, and we're going back to talking of church growth too, and so many pastors are interested in this in Africa too, not just in America. But in seeker sensitive, it's this, don't speak anything in the service that would make anybody feel uncomfortable. Create an atmosphere where even the most godless person can come to the church service and leave feeling okay about it. So what that means, you know, they don't preach about sin. Of course, they don't preach about heaven. They don't preach about hell. So it's more of a social gospel. It's a Christianity that that adapts to the local society. They run the demographics, you know, on the society, on the community they're living, and they preach a gospel that is acceptable to that society. So, you know, what you have churches getting bigger, like Rick Warren, Saddleback, Bill Hybels, and there are many, many others. In fact, you know, many of the Baptist churches that were deeply fundamental, you know, that's been the foundation of that. Also, many Pentecostal denominations. What they're doing is they're getting away from the fundamentals of the Bible, and now they're going with the seeker-sensitive. What is what's going to draw the people? What do the people want to hear? And so what's happening today in Africa and with Rick Warren's movement, I mean, a lot of things going here that I could cover today. I believe he's definitely helping to fulfill the United Nations agenda for globalization, heading for world peace, and the United Nations wanting to have a centralized government. And I could go there, but I want to speak on Christianity changing. Rick Warren talks about the Second Reformation. And, you know, when you talk about the Second Reformation, you know, you reflect on the First Reformation. The First Reformation was when the Catholic Church had gotten away from the Bible. And so the Reformation was to bring Christianity back to the Bible. But with this Second Reformation, what Rick Warren is doing, he's calling it, you know, identifying with the First Reformation, but it's doing exactly the opposite. This is taking the church away from the Bible into a New Age Christianity. And let me just illustrate it like this. An article came out May 23rd, 2005, when Rick Warren was a guest on the Pew and Religious Forum. And here's what Rick Warren said. He said, "Today, there really aren't that many fundamentalists left." And he said, "If they are, they're in a minority." He said the word fundamentalist actually comes from a document in 1920s called The Five Fundamentals of the Faith. And he calls the five fundamentals of the faith a very legalistic, narrow view of Christianity. All right, let's look at the five fundamentals that he calls a narrow view and a legalistic view of Christianity. Number one on the fundamentals of Christianity, that's the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number two is the virgin birth of Christ. Number three, the blood atonement. Number four, the bodily resurrection. And number five, the inerrancy of the scriptures. Now, these five fundamentals of which all real Bible Christianity is built on, Rick Warren calls these very legalistic and a narrow view of Christianity. Who does this man think he is to redefine Christianity and to say that those things, you know, what they're doing, redefining Christianity, and it's making, really turning the church into a social institution. For example, what he's doing in Rwanda right now. In reflecting what he's teaching, you ask me what he's teaching, is it scriptural or not? I want to go back there. In that August 2005 article from Time Magazine, which told about his objectives in Rwanda, he says it's to transform the churches, to transform them into centers for feeding the poor, for nursing centers, and also of educating the people. Well, feeding the poor, nursing, education, nobody's against that. You know, those are good social deeds, good deeds to be done. But what he's doing and saying, he's transforming the church into this. So when you transform something, you're changing it from its intended purpose. And the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ is to preach Jesus, that he's the Savior of the world, is to get sinners saved, it's to get people prepared where they will spend eternity. It's to teach the Bible as the way, as the guide to live. So for him to transform the churches into that is to change it from its original purpose into feeding centers, into education centers, and so it's literally a takeover of Christianity. You know, as I've observed in Africa, you know, in fact, yesterday, Rick Warren was in Nairobi, and I recently had a conference in Nairobi on these very issues, sharing with the pastors, about 500 pastors, you know, of what his teachings are, what he's trying to do in Africa. But, you know, it appears to me that this man has no biblical standards. It doesn't matter to him, you know, what anybody believes or not. You know, because he's totally ecumenical. He works with every denomination, no matter what doctrine they teach. In fact, he made a statement in his book, In the Purpose-Driven Life. You know, when you get to heaven or to God, doctrine is not important. God will never ask you about doctrine. Well, that is totally erroneous. In 2 John 9, it says, "He that hath not the doctrine of Christ hath not God." So I don't know where in the world this man got that. He sure didn't get that out of the Bible. You know, he maybe have gotten it out of seminary, the Fuller Theological Seminary he attended. But when you talk of doctrine, I know that there's church doctrine, but there's Bible doctrine. And the doctrine of the doctrine is the teachings of Jesus Christ. So where we are in Christianity is, in my opinion, Jesus' name is very, very much being used, and it's being used. People, you know, say Jesus, but then they forget his teachings, they ignore his teachings, they teach in the name of Jesus, they teach opposite of what Jesus taught. And so now, also, he's going, I think, on the 10th, he's going into Nigeria. He's going to be speaking to the Anglicans there on church growth. There's 18 million Anglicans in Nigeria. Well, I think this is extremely interesting because the Anglican Church, you know, has voted to marry homosexual Anglican priests. Now, it's totally opposite the Bible and totally defiant the Bible and showing the curse of God, you know, comes upon those who are engaged in those kind of activities, and yet he's going to be involved into promoting the denomination that now, even not only for the people, but for its pastors, its priests, they say it's not only all right, but we're going to ordain our homosexual priests to preach the gospel. So, you know, it just appears like he's dancing with everyone. So, you know, this is the man that wants to be the head of Christianity. In that article in Time magazine about Rwanda, it said that, you know, he wants to take 400,000 churches and their pastors and retrain them. And so pastors in Africa, out in the bush, they're coming in. When they get to the city, they go to the internet, they're downloading Rick Warren's sermons. Now, this, what kind of sermons are they going to get from this man? And I think he's got a mailing list, email list of 60,000 pastors that he is, and he's sending all of these messages out to them. So this is a man who, he calls himself Baptist, but now he says the fundamentalism is a very legalistic and narrow view of Christianity. So that's sure come a long ways from where the Baptists used to be. And I know even in the Pentecostal realms, there are many that have done the same thing. Because why? They think, well, it's church growth. We need to just get as many people in. And so where the church is today, you know, it's compromising. And it's you know, going along with whatever's going to bring in the most money and the most people. Pastors, bishops are compromising. It's done in America. It's being done in Africa. And it's very seducing, a very seducing thing. You know, Rick Warren has a lot of money. He has a lot of connections behind him pumping in that money. And this is the reason he's moving so fast. You know, and people in Africa, you know, he's run a profile on them like others, and know the way that people are in Africa, there's a lot of desperation. There's a lot of needs that are in Africa. And if, you know, if you got money, they're going to dance with you. And so literally, he's buying the church in Africa with all these promises, all these humanitarians, all this type of stuff he's going to promise and use the church. But, you know, it's like this. You know, when you go fishing, how do you catch a fish? You offer them free food. But what you do, you know, you hide your hook in it. And so with all the good works that this man is doing, he's hiding a hook in it. He has a secret agenda, and we haven't even had a chance to get in his global peace plan much, but his global peace plan is following what the Bible tells that the Antichrist is going to do in Daniel 8, verse 23 to 25. By peace, he will destroy many. And so there's several agendas going on, but first of all, I want to get to that it's much of it is unscriptural. One thing he teaches in his book, in the get-go, right at the front, everything that happens to you in your life was planned by God. And whether it's illness, God foreordained that, whether it's debt, God foreordained that you would be in debt. If you're going to sin, God planned that sin for you before you were ever born. That is in the purpose-driven life that God planned for that sin, for you to do that sin. It's the most unbelievable, unscriptural thing I have ever heard in my life. And also, in his book, he said God planned for the divorce in your life. Well, if God's like that, who needs the devil? Who needs the devil? And so, with this type of thinking, he is literally trying to retrain all the pastors of the world to come under him. In Rwanda, you know, it calls all of these churches to be purpose-driven churches. Well, if they're purpose-driven churches, and he is the head of purpose-driven, well, who do you think is the bishop who's calling the shots? I talked to some bishop friends in Africa regarding this, and I said, when it comes down to loyalty, Bishop, between you and also Rick Warren, who has the money dealing with your pastors, which one do you think your pastors are going to be loyal to you or the guy with the money? And they looked at me and they said, this is going to be Rick Warren. I said, that's right. You're no longer going to be the bishop that he is. And literally, it's starting a new denomination. He's letting them stay called whatever denomination is, but they're purpose-driven churches. That makes him the head of the church. Literally, it appears to me like he's trying to be the Pope of Africa and the Pope of the Church of the World, to be the head, to dictate the direction of the whole church. And then he said he wants Rwanda to be the first purpose-driven nation. Well, boy, you just think about that. To be a purpose-driven nation, that, and he is the head of purpose-driven, and he's the one supplying money, you know, so in reality, who is the one calling the shots for Rwanda? Well, I'll tell you, he in exile would be the real king of Rwanda. And my wife and I were just in Rwanda, and we visited the Holocaust memorial, the genocide memorial. And in Rwanda, 10,000 people were killed every day for 100 days. And they were not killed with guns. They were killed with machetes. They were killed with knives, with blunt instruments, 10,000 every day for 100 days. And what I saw in Rwanda when I was there is that really Rwanda is still very fragile. And with outside interference, and I think even what he's doing there, it could provoke something else that could trigger that again. I believe it's not impossible. They've had two or three genocides in Rwanda already. And I think there's a huge danger for that to happen. And so I think what he's doing in Africa, I think it is absolutely deadly for the church. He's bringing the church and state together. And that what that means is that the state will enforce the church law. They're all going to come under one law, one church law. It won't be, you know, Baptist. It won't be, you know, whatever thing. It's going to be whatever they dictate as the church, the consensus is. And the state is going to enforce that. And so that could return to the Dark Ages, like the state church, you know, with Church of England and back in the time of the Middle Ages. So this is some kind of update what's going on.
Well, maybe that's, of course, why the Council on Foreign Relations invited Rick Warren to come back and talk to them, to fill them in on the plan, or maybe they're sort of working together because the people in the Council on Foreign Relations want to establish this one-world government. And, of course, we want to have a one-world church. In fact, we're told, you know, in Thessalonians 2:2, as I recall, that before the man of sin is exposed, there will be a great falling away.
Yes, there will be. I definitely believe that the governments, outside governments of Africa, you know, like Blair offered $15 billion for aid to Africa, you know, the White House offered billions of dollars, but you know, nothing is free, you know, when people, you know, want to offer things like that, you know, you wonder what do they want out of it. And I do know this one thing. You know, Great Britain and other countries, they've only been out of Africa 50 years. And Africa has tremendous natural resources. And, you know, the Western countries, you know, we're running low on a lot of resources. And in my opinion, that they're eyeing Africa I'm in the business. I know, and Rick Warren's involved in business in Africa also. Not only the church, not only the government, but also in business. It's a triangular type of thing that he's doing there.
Well, we're going to have to get you back again, because I hope I'll call you off the air and try to get you onto some of our other programs. We've just begun to scratch the surface.
Yeah.
Our guest has been Reverend Lauren Davis. Let's get your telephone number and your website out in case people would like to get in touch with your ministry and help you.
Okay, let me get my website and my email address.
All right.
Okay, my website is www.laurendavis.com, LorenDavis.com.
And your email?
My email is CombineHarvesting, CombineHarvesting, CombineHarvesting@hotmail.com.
God bless. Thanks very much. And if you didn't get it, well, you can give us a call. Bye-bye.
Okay,
thanks so much.
We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, What Really Happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, What Really Happened.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and in the latter days, before the man of sin is exposed, why there will be a great falling away from the faith. And, of course, one of the big problems is today the failure to recognize that we're all sinners saved by grace. And if we're not sinners, we don't need a salvation. And, of course, this is really what's happening in Christendom today. We carry some excellent books. We carry a book called The Dark Side of the Purpose-Driven Church. Who's driving the purpose-driven church? Now, The Dark Side of the Purpose-Driven Church by Dr. Noah Hutchings of Southwest Radio Church. Who's driving the purpose-driven church? and by James Sandquist, and then, of course, deceived on purpose by Warren Smith. And Warren had come out of the New Age, and he recognizes that within the teachings that are now in so many churches in America is the mysticism of the New Age movement. And people I know who've been into the occult recognize that it's in our churches today. And so you need to get these books. And then, of course, we have an excellent DVD called Diaprax by our good friend Dr. Klink. We have a four-tape set called the Church Growth Movement. Understand that over 300,000 Protestant laymen right here in the United States have already been in training, a lot of good people. But, of course, they really don't understand, because it's done so subtly, that this is a master plan. But the people of the Council on Foreign Relations do understand. That's why they've invited Rick Warren to come back and address them. That's why he's been asked to appear before the United Nations or United Nations committees. They understand why the move is the New World Order, the New World Religion. And the question is, do you understand? Are you having this in your church? Maybe you have. Maybe you've been asked to leave your church or driven out of your church, or maybe you think it's exciting because it is exciting and the music is exciting. You have to understand the impact of the music. We have a great book called Crisis in Christian Music Part 1. Crisis in Christian Music Part 2. And you remember Dr. Davis was talking about how when he first went to Tanzania the first night, and there were the witch doctors with the drums. Do you have those drums in your church? The rhythm has a profound impact on you. We have a great book, Crisis in Christian Music Part 1, Crisis in Christian Music Part 2, a four-tape set called Musical Madness, and you need to see or listen to those tapes. And then you need to get our videos and or DVDs. They sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version, to find out what they're doing to the minds of our children, to the minds of our adults, because music has a profound impact on your mind. You may not recognize it, but you have to understand the people on the other side truly have supernatural knowledge, and they understand how to manipulate people. And you do understand who Peter Drucker was and what this whole movement is really all about. Because, of course, it's destroying the Christian church in America today. And destroy the church, you destroy the foundations of our freedom. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We're putting on an all-day conference here in the Monterey Bay area on the 19th of November. And we do hope many of you will come. And we're going to be talking about all sorts of different things. We're bringing in outside speakers. You're going to have to get your reservations in this week, though, because we have to know how many people are coming by Saturday. So give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 and come and bring your friends. You'll never will look at the world quite the same way. Afterwards, you can't, of course, send things in by mail. We have to give us a call and make your reservations at the present time, 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, because if we don't turn back to God, God will never again bless this nation. And then we ask you to pray for leaders and ministers, because we're involved in a spiritual battle. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we are in the front lines of this battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.